The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics. Regions, get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit regions.com/anchor down to order yours today. And by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, Kevin Ingram.
Welcome into Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us on this beautiful Monday evening in the Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Kevin Ingram with our producer, Steve Goldberg. And coming up over the next hour, we'll talk about everything going on in Vanderbilt sports, including a visit a little bit later on the hour with Athletic Director Candace Story Lee. And in the more immediate feature, we will visit with Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin after the Commodores got the sweep at Missouri this past weekend. Of course, if you weren't around earlier today, big announcement by Vanderbilt this morning, the announcement of Vandy United, a fundraising effort to invest $300 million into Vanderbilt athletics. Already identified $200 million toward the goal, and the Board of Trust member John Ingram has made the lead gift of $10 million. Chancellor Daniel Dearmeyer and Athletics Director Candace Story Lee made the announcement this morning, talked about upgrades for student athletes, a new football operations center, an indoor practice facility for football, an expanded McGugan Center with also a new sports performance center, a basketball operations center with practice courts and new facilities there, and an upgraded fan experience in the stadium, premium seating options, hospitality space, upgraded food and beverage options, a whole lot of other amenities coming up for fans too. So looking forward to seeing what's in store for Vanderbilt with this announcement of Vandy United. They say they will have more details and renderings of the first phase of the facility projects coming up this summer. Construction on the football and basketball operations centers will start after this coming football season, but Vanderbilt has worked with Perkins and Will on the strategic planning, and also Populous will be the master architect for the whole project. So Vandy United is up and running, and exciting time on campus with that announcement made earlier today. As for baseball, ranked number one in the country, 4-0 last week, now 19-3 overall, 5-1 in the SEC. Jack Leiter, the SEC Pitcher of the Week for the second straight week after his Friday win against Missouri when he pitched seven more hitless innings, so that is 16 hitless innings over the span of two starts for Leiter, has just been awesome. They beat Lipscomb 11-3 in the midweek game on Tuesday, swept Missouri 10-2, 11-3, and 3-1 with Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter both getting their sixth wins. And then on Saturday in that 11-3 win, it was great to the 3-1 finale, I should say, on Saturday, fell behind 1-0 early and then stranded nine base runners in the first five innings. Scored two in the sixth on an error and a ground out to take the lead, and then a big insurance run in the ninth on a big hit by Parker Nolan with two outs. Great to see Thomas Schultz pitch five innings. He was really good, got the win. Nick Maldonado threw three innings, and then Luke Murphy struck out two in the ninth to get the save. So Vanderbilt got all three at Missouri over the weekend, and now we'll play Tennessee Tech on Tuesday, and then another Thursday through Saturday series, and that will be coming up in Baton Rouge against LSU this week. Exciting. Look forward to going down there for the first time. I've not been to Alex Box Stadium, so looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. When we come back, we will visit with Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin for the next couple segments. We remind you that Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Jeep. Gupton Jeep is your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters, been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. This is Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back. This is Commodore Hour, and it's brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in the great state of Tennessee. Well, as we mentioned in the open, Vanderbilt baseball rolling right along, 19-3 and 5-1 in the SEC after two weekends of conference competition, and that includes a three-game sweep at Missouri back last weekend, 10-2, 11-3, and 3-1 in a Thursday through Saturday series. Terrific pitching. Missouri only scored six runs in the three games, and only two of those runs were earned. So Vanderbilt got the job done with a three-game sweep, able to finish it off on Saturday after winning those first two. Time to visit with a coach. Here is Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin with our weekly visit on Commodore Hour. Joined by Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin, and I guess first of all, before we talk about baseball, just some thoughts on the Vandy United announcement from earlier today. Sounds exciting for athletics on campus.
Well, it should be. It's very exciting in a lot of different ways. I think number one, it's good for Candace to be a part of that because she has weathered a lot of storms outside of the university, inside the university, and this is a real positive one for her, for our department, for the coaches, and for Vanderbilt fans to see where our actions are pointed. And certainly Chancellor Dearmeyer endorsing it and being part of a campus-wide fundraising situation is certainly very reflective of his words and his commitment towards everyone inside the university.
Your program's done big projects like the baseball facility. How important is it to tap into the resources of former players who've gone on to be successful and still have those connections and want to be a part of it?
Well, it's very rewarding that they would want to be part of the school that they were invested in while they were here. To have an affinity for your university because it's emotional is rewarding and fulfilling. And I think that's where philanthropy really gains momentum, is when people feel emotional towards something. And when your former players feel emotional to give back, it really is the best thank you could ever get from them, and an endorsement to how they felt about their situation when they were here.
As far as baseball, we talked about finishing the sweep after winning the first two games, regardless of the opponent or how the first two games go. It's so difficult, but able to play well three straight days and get the job done. Some thoughts on the series at Missouri?
Well, it certainly is a big deal when you go on the road and can win a series, let alone sweep a series. And I felt like we played very consistent baseball for much of the weekend. The first two games, we struck a chord offensively and did some good things that way. We certainly pitched well on both days. And then on Sunday or Saturday, I should say the third day, we just won in a different way. It was 3-1. They pitched well against us. They stopped our bats. Our bats weren't really moving with guys in scoring position, but you have to look at the people who swing the bat are also the guys who play defense. And we played defense behind our pitcher, and I thought Thomas pitched well. It was good for him to get a start and go deep into the ball game, at least into the sixth. And I thought Maldo was outstanding. Maldo really came in and I thought brought the rhythm of the game back to the Vanderbilt dugout, because he reduced opportunities for Missouri and sent them back into the dugout rather quick. So that was a good thing. And then Luke Murphy finishing it off. So when you board the bus and get on that airplane, which was probably the biggest opponent of the weekend, was that trip home. We're just glad that we won three games and arrived safely back here on campus.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Was it a little bit of a shaky trip home with all the storms and everything going on?
Shaky might be an understatement for some of our guys. We had one guy faint. We had my wife was squeezing the table in front of her. It was just one of those situations where we're not, as a periodic traveler, you don't sometimes understand what the pilots and flight crew are going through when you go through tough weather. But they managed it very well. I thought the airlines did really well. But, as a traveler, sometimes that shakes you up a little bit because Sure. You're just not used to that type of turbulence.
Going back to the game three of the series, Thomas pitched well and got the win. Really happy for him. But you talked about him being, a pretty even temperament as far as being able to tell whether he had a good game or a bad game. But how much can one like that really help him going forward?
Well, internally, for sure. I mean, he certainly is a kid that's very invested in what he's doing, and he has trust in our staff. Otherwise, we wouldn't give him the ball on the third day. But I think for him, it's just knowing that I just think there's certain barriers, Kevin, that you have to go through as a position player, as a pitcher, in order to feel really what you think potentially could happen. And, listening to Jack say that about his outing when he pitched a complete game and really going over the fifth inning barrier, I think for Thomas, that was a first. It was a first, just getting to that moment and getting deeper into a ball game. And it's not to say that'll happen every time out. Sometimes you throw really well but can only get to the fourth or get to the fifth and sometimes the sixth. But I think for him, that was certainly a good starting point.
How much does it help, too, to go into that third game and have a bullpen where you have pretty much all your weapons ready to go after two really good efforts in the first two games of the series?
Well, it's needed. I mean, if you haven't shot any bullets, and we still, had Ethan Smith in the bullpen, too. So we didn't even use Smitty, we didn't use Fisher. and a host of others, and I don't want to leave anyone out, but I think in that particular series where we kind of reduced our usage to, I know we used two guys in the, out of the bullpen on Friday, but really those were short doses more than anything else, and it was really after the game was in hand. But I think as a whole, yes, I mean, it's to go into that third game and know that you've got most of the garage available to you, it's important.
To go to the game two of the series and Leiter, he won SEC Pitcher of the Week again. Don't want to bury the lead, but seven more hitless innings. How is he able to control the game so well simply with the fastball a lot of the time?
He's in the zone. I think the thing about Jack, at least in the last two outings, and I know the outcomes are what they are, but the difference is just him pounding the zone with a fastball. I mean, he's leading with it. You know, he's not cute, and he's not using a lot of pitches. Now, can he throw a lot of pitches? He can, but this is still college baseball, and they are good hitters on the other side. But at the same time, if you have a dominant pitch, which he does, then and you can use it repeatedly in different quadrants of the plate, and you can use it effectively, and it's missing bats, then, you know, it's kind of a go-to thing. And then he can always go back and throw that breaking ball or throw that cutter or throw that changeup. And it's even more devastating because what it does to a hitter is it becomes a mystery. You know, it's like, okay, I'm on the fastball, but he's got the breaking ball. And, you know, when you can't gear up for everything, you know, with him, you probably have to pick one and you better sit on it. And I think the fact that he can offer or throw a lot of different offerings, but yet the one offer that and all his pitches are sharp, but the fastball is the one that separates him from a lot of other people.
We were talking after the game. I saw you when we were getting on the elevator. We were talking about Sonny Gray as maybe a comparison. Who would you compare Jack with as far as other pitchers that have been through this program?
He's a tough one to compare because I think size, I mean, he's, I don't want to compare him to a Hall of Famer, but when I look at him, you know, it's, you know, there's a Tom Seaver-ish feel to him, you know, just that exploding fastball. He's not a small kid by any stretch. He's a medium sized kid height wise, but the strength from the hips down and the strength from the hips up is, you know, it's apparent, you know, there's a lot of torque being built up because he uses his delivery so well. He gets over his leg. He gets great extension to the ball, and he uses his body to pitch. It's just not an arm, and yet the arm is so loose, and it's so free. So he's got a lot of things working together, but I think, you know, Sonny was a little bit different because Sonny, as I told you, was a little bit spinny. Sonny was like kind of like a blender. I remember Derek Johnson always describing him as kind of a blender. He spins really well, and he spins on time. That's why he's got the good fastball and it's got movement and breaking ball as well. But Jack's more of that north to south. He's coming and he's jamming the ball down to the south of the plate. And it's really, I don't know, of all the guys that have been here, there's probably not a lot of guys I can compare him to. Even the guys I remember at Clemson, Kevin, I don't really have a great comparison on that just because of maybe the size and his ability. His ability is a little bit different than a lot of people that we've had before.
We're speaking with Coach Tim Corbin, and we'll have more coming up in just a moment. This is Commodore Hour, and this is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Take us wherever you may go with the Game National app.
Welcome back to Commodore Hour. We are visiting with Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin after a three-game series sweep at Missouri over the weekend and getting ready for a busy week ahead with Tennessee Tech on Tuesday and then a trip to LSU after that. To go back to Kamar Rocker's start in game one, he just gave you what you needed, didn't he? Six innings, got you onto the bullpen and got to the finish line. Another game where he had a big lead and the game was in hand.
Yeah, I think, Kevin, the concern there, at least for me and not – outwardly, I never talked about this, but the concern was just the short rest. You know, it was a day early. So knowing that Kumar had to do that, coming off what was a very intense game that he pitched against South Carolina. I mean, it was eight innings, but those were eight strong innings that were pitched with I would say a lot of heat. I mean, that game was very tight. It was very close. It could go back and forth, and that takes a lot out of you emotionally and physically as well. So I thought he did a good job getting on the road and leading us again, because that lead pin that pitches every Thursday or Friday night, they set a tone for your team, and he always does that. And I'll never minimize the strength of that for a club. But I thought he did a good job just kind of gutting through something. His stuff was fine. Was it as electric as South Carolina? I don't know, you know. But at the same time, the opposition becomes a little bit finer each time out, because it's more looks of seeing Kumar. Now, I realize it's not in person, but they're doing the best job they can to provide a good scouting report to their kids, and they want their kids to execute it. So he's got to meet that challenge. And I thought he did a really nice job for himself, and he did obviously a really nice job for our team.
Sam Loboke came in and gave you a three-inning save. Thoughts on his performance and where he is in his progression?
Good. He got a lot better as time went on, too. I thought early, you know, he walked the first hitter on four pitches, but after that, I thought he got in a rhythm. To me, with Sam, and I know we just got through talking about Jack Leiter's fastball, but Sam is – he's got the good breaking ball, but what I think makes Sam different is the command of the fastball. He gets to the plate with the command of the fastball, and he just hasn't had that over the last 3 weeks, or like Sam, like, you know, you once you see a kid like Sam, you say, I guess you have an expectation of what this kid is, it can do when he's good. And he's a consistent kid, and he's a consistent pitcher. And I thought the second and third inning of the through were more indicative of who Sam is. And then he got the breaking ball rolling. When he gets the breaking ball rolling, he becomes tough to navigate, because those two pitchers are plus. Now, I'm not going to say they have the velocity of fastballs like Jack's, but it's very effective because it's got a lot of movement to it. And it's got a darting life to it at the plate, too. So he becomes tough for the hitter.
C.J. Rodriguez had a really good series in Missouri. Terrific behind the plate. Made a great throw on Saturday. But also had a three-hit game. Hit two home runs, five RBIs in the first two games, three walks in game three. He's just doing the job on both sides, isn't he?
He's a plugger. He's one of those guys that, as you said, I mean, if there's two-way football player, that's him. You know, he's a guy that just does such a good job behind the plate that you don't notice him. And you notice him when he makes the good throws. And you notice him, I guess you notice him when he makes the great blocks, but you know, that's the thing, that he catches the low fastball as well as anyone, you know, he really does. He catches velocity really, really well, Kevin. He's very steady and he's very quiet, and the umpires, they remark about him. You know, they know a good presenter when you see one, and he is that. But what he does is he blocks the ball, keeps it in front of him, doesn't allow runners to move up. And then when runners try to move, then he's very capable of throwing them out. So that part has been good. He's just such a good, steady presence. And then his offense, he's got very good hand-eye coordination, but he hit the big ball early in the series and then was pretty steady throughout. So he's doing the things that winning catchers do, and doing more than that as well. So very lucky to have him.
Yeah, the defensive part for a catcher is so important. Do you almost look at it as a bonus if you can really get a lot of good offense out of a guy at that position?
Well, I would go a step further and tell you that that's probably the case with the shortstop position and center field position too. Now, everyone wants offense, and you get greedy as a coach because you go, okay, I'll take that defense, but can he hit? And I think the reality is hitting is when you're so good at defense that you take the hitting away from the opponent, and really that you're just saving runs. And really at this level, it's more about prevention than anything else, because if you stop the other team from scoring, then you give yourself a better chance to win the games. And that's what CJ does. I mean, you're right. I mean, good offensive catchers are tough to come by. And I say tough just because if they're really, really good defensive catchers, then, you know, offense becomes like icing on the cake. You know, there's only so many Molinas, there's only so many Johnny Benches, you know. And CJ at this level, he's kind of that guy for us. He's a guy that plays very good defense, but can certainly give you some offense too. And I would say that about Carter and Enrique too. They're very good defenders, but they've really inserted themselves as offensive players. And when you got a strong middle like that, and you don't leave out Tate, a guy like Tate who plays consistent defense and can hit, then that really is the makings of a good team.
Carter made more outstanding plays at shortstop in that series. How do you even coach some of those things, like that spin and throw on the ball up the middle that he makes so easily?
You don't. That's body control. I mean, those are the things that he does innately. And he's the type of guy, and I mentioned this to a player today, that a lot of ball players, amateur ball players, when they work at the game, it's usually one-sided. It's usually with a bat if you're a hitter. And the defensive side of things, you really have to have an affinity for the glove, and you really have to love it. But the thing about playing defense is you need a partner to play it. Yeah. Offense, you can do it by yourself. It's almost like golf. Defense, you need someone else that can hit a ball or run a machine for you. And there's just not a lot of guys who create that environment for themselves. And he's someone that has always had an affinity for defense. He really, really likes it. But the separator, and I know we talked about this before one of the games, he never takes a rep off before the game starts. His intent and focus to fielding a ground ball cleanly before the game starts is on point. And it's why, in fact, he's such a good defensive player.
What are you seeing in Dominic Keegan now with the week under his belt since returning?
Better timing at the plate, more stability at the plate. I thought as the weekend progressed, he was seeing the ball better. Saturday, you know, he started a little bit slow, but I thought his last couple of bats were good. He's starting to get his timing around again. You can just feel it. I didn't anticipate. I thought the week and a half or 2 weeks off after sitting out was going to catch up with him a little at the beginning. But it seems like he's worked through that, Kevin. And again, you know, now we're talking about offense and defense. His defense, that 3-6-3 double play, that just doesn't happen very often. And that was a heck of a play. And at the time was a game changer, really, because the game was tight, obviously, and he just crushed an inning. It's like blocking a punt in football. You just kind of change the complexion of the game. So on both sides of the ball, Dominic has been very steady for us.
We're speaking with Coach Tim Corbin. We'll have more in just a moment. This is Commodore Hour. We're coming right back. Welcome back to Commodore Hour. We are visiting with Vanderbilt head coach Tim Corbin. The Commodores play Tennessee Tech on Tuesday and then three at LSU on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I want to go back to where you finished that last segment, talking about the 3-6-3 double play. That's a really difficult play for a right-handed first baseman to make, and we saw Dominic really do a great job on that particular play. For a lefty, you can kind of step to the inside and make that throw, but for a right-hander, you really have to get your body turned the right way, don't you?
Look at you, Kevin. You're breaking down a fundamental. I like it. You're right. I mean, you're facing the hitter, so you have to field the ball square up to the hitter, and then you have to rotate your feet inward and deliver a strike, and it has to be firm. And you really have to have the wherewithal on where you are, understanding that if I make that throw, I've got to finish that, number one. That's the top priority. And the second priority is getting back to the bag. And if you don't get there, being able to tell the pitcher you've got it. But he knew the minute he released that ball, I knew he was getting back to the bag. And I think the thing about Dominic, he's got great agility. He's got great body control, and he's got good agility. And he's a first baseman that not likes to throw. He loves to throw and can throw. And a first baseman that loves to throw and can throw accurately is worth his weight in gold, because he certainly can catch the ball and he can throw the ball too. And that is just such a value. I was able to coach Mark Teixeira as an amateur on the USA team. And Mark was a third baseman, but he transitioned over to first base. And I at the time, I thought, to me, he changed first base play in a lot of ways just on positioning alone, because he played close to second base side, and it allowed Cano to play more up the middle. And it just changed the Yankees' defensive alignment, I thought, a lot of different ways. Well, Dominic does that for us. He's agile enough where he can play away from the first base bag, but yet still get to the first base bag. And it gives us so much more defense on that side of the field because of that.
I mean, talk about the work that goes in before a game in the cage, going through BP. How much do you talk to guys about having a plan when they get in there? And it's not just like, you know, it's almost like, you know, hitting a bucket of golf balls, where, you know, you want to work on specific things rather than just put them down and hit them. How much of a conversation do you have about, okay, you need to work on this, this, and this, or here's what you're going to be looking for in the game? And how does that go going into BP?
Every single day. I mean, it's probably the most important thing we do. I tell them, from being selfish about this, the most important thing for me as a coach that's teaching you is that 45-minute segment before the game starts. It's the most important thing we do. We put all our attention and all our efforts into it, so much so, Kevin, that we don't take in and out before the game like a lot of teams do. And the reason being is because I really think that that's where the point of emphasis should be. I think in and out is almost like that's just kind of a show. I think the real work is done in that environment, BP I'm talking about, where the hitters are executing offense and the defense are executing defense at a high rate. That's where you start to see the carryover. And I went back and told that story to the team yesterday about Tyler Campbell in 2014 when Xavier Turner had to go home. And we lost a very good player in Xavier, a very good third baseman. And the players unanimously, they didn't even flinch, thought that Tyler Campbell was that guy that could go to third base. But yet he had never played third base. He had trained at second base and shortstop. But the reason they felt that way is because they watched how he took his ground balls in that segment right there and how important it was and how he never dropped a ball. And I think what it does is it just develops trust. It develops trust in your teammates because they see what you can do and they see what you can do over and over and over again. So, yeah, that segment for our outfielders, for our infielders, even for our pitchers, because our pitchers do their pregame throwing and a lot of work there. I just think it's the game for a lot of guys because only 9 guys get on the field. So for the rest of them, it's very meaningful.
How much do you enjoy the hands-on part of that period, too, where you're hitting ground balls, you're running the machines, you're out there behind the pitcher watching guys take ABs. You got involvement in all those different phases.
I love it. So it's my favorite time of the day, and I mean that sincerely. I like it better than the games. The games, obviously, there's some stress to it. Those training moments, there's no stress at all. It's almost like it's like a vacation. It's like you're doing something that you really, really enjoy. And I think the kids, they have a lot of fun doing it. You want them to have fun. But I think it's really where improvement is, too, because now where you're limited on these training days in between the games, you don't get as many. Then those training days start to become the hours before the game. And because they're hours before the game, it's very, very meaningful to what we're doing. And I think we're really good at it. I really do. I wouldn't say that. I compliment the kids, and I don't like complimenting too much because I know what compliments can sometimes do. But I think their recreation of good habits is the reason that they're consistent. Doesn't guarantee anything, but I think at least it gives you a chance to be better as a group.
Got Tennessee Tech coming up on Tuesday. They always have guys with power. What do you expect from that program? One that's really been successful in the OVC and beyond there in recent years.
Well, Steve Smith, the former coach at Baylor, he's a good friend of mine. Maggie and I, he sits on the ABCA committee with us. I really enjoy him. I just felt like when he got his hands on that program, he would continue what Matt Braga did so well when he was there. And that was build a program with premium hitters and good pitching. And although I haven't seen much of them this year so far, I do know that they have a lot of returning players that can play. Little John is a good, he's their center fielder. He's leadoff. Brett Roberts is a good player. They really run well. So I think from an offensive standpoint, they're good. I forgot the Hinchman kid. Hinchman kid is a big kid who's got tremendous power to the left field side. We've played against him before. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough situation for us. And they're pitching a kid named Brock Myers. And anyone in Nashville knows who Brock Myers is because he took that team to Williamsport, and I was one of his biggest fans. Tomorrow night will be the only time I'm not a Brock Myers fan. But I know Brock Myers is pretty good. So, that's going to be a tough challenge for us.
Yeah. How interesting is it to see guys that you saw as kids, whether it's in a camp or like Brock's case, a big star in that Goodlettsville team, or, I think the young man named Money that plays for LSU was on one of the Little League World Series teams too. How fun is that to see those guys grow and become good college players?
It's the best. It's just the best to see them use their skill sets to attain an education. I think that's the most important thing is, they're paying for an education or help pay for an education, I should say, with their baseball skills. And I think that's the most important thing. Would I like all of them to be here and work with them? Yeah, you would. You'd like a Brock Myers to be here because I loved watching Brock, and Brock's certainly a good player. You can't get all of them, unfortunately. And There's a lot of good ones at the University of Tennessee. There's a lot of good ones at Belmont and Lipscomb and Tennessee Tech. So the fact that you can play against them is certainly a good thing, too, because you get to see him again.
Now, I've been to LSU for football. I've not been there for baseball. It looks like an awesome environment. A little thought or two on going to Alex Box and playing.
So this is your first time?
Yep.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. I would say LSU fans, and I think the comparison at the major league level would be St. Louis. I think they're very, very passionate fans. But the reason I compare them to St. Louis fans, and not that New York and Boston fans aren't this way, but I think just St. Louis fans are very sharp. They're very smart. They know the game. They understand the game, and they appreciate the other team. New York and Boston fans don't appreciate the other team. They'll give you a certain sign to let you know that they don't appreciate you. I think St. Louis and LSU fans are very wise to the game and appreciate the opposition. I've always enjoyed going to LSU. I respect their program a great deal. I'm very fond of Paul. I certainly am very fond of Coach Burtman and what he's done or what he did and continues to do with his spirit, even though he's not standing on the field. But I think very highly of LSU and Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
And finally, do you have a favorite Cajun dish?
I would go for crawfish. I just think crawfish, period. You fight with your food a little bit to open it up, but I like the way it tastes. And to me, I'm a lobster person from New England, Kevin. So that's a pretty easy transition for me. And I like spicy food. So hopefully I might be able to eat a little bit of that while we're down there.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. Tim, thanks as always. Always enjoy the time.
Likewise, Kevin. Thank you.
Vanderbilt coach Jim Corbin talking about the week ahead, Tennessee Tech tomorrow night, and then down to LSU for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And, yeah, I have been there for football. It's been a few years ago, and that is a crazy environment. You're rolling there on the buses, and they're ready to go. Not been there for baseball or anything else, so looking forward to a first experience at Alex Box Stadium, which is one of the great venues in college baseball. But first things first, Tennessee Tech on Tuesday night, and if you're around this area or from around this area, you remember the name Brock Myers very well because he was the big star on that Goodlettsville team that back in 2012, they won the U.S. part of the Little League World Series. They played Japan for the championship and lost, but he was one of the main players on that team from Goodlettsville that did all that and has not really had a chance, I don't think, to play a whole lot at Tennessee Tech over the last couple of years, but getting a more of an opportunity this season. Looking forward to seeing him on the mound, and it's neat to see some of those guys from those teams. There was the team from Goodlettsville and the team from South Nashville that played, I think, in back-to-back years, and some of those players popping up here and there in college ball, including the one we talked about with LSU. So, fun week coming up, another Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which makes it pretty tight and a busy week, but worked out well last week with a 4-0 record, and hopefully the same coming up this week for Tim Corbin's team. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Candace Story Lee, Vanderbilt's athletics director, talking about today's big announcement of Vandy United, the fundraising effort to invest nearly $300 million, into Vanderbilt athletics, and they've already identified $200 million toward that goal, and John Ingram, the Board of Trust member, no relation, unfortunately, making the lead gift of $10 million. So that is exciting stuff on campus. Been fun to see all the social media things going on all day today. But Candace is coming up in just a moment. This is Commodore Hour, and this is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back. This is Commodore Hour. It is great to have you with us on this Monday evening in the Music City. Coming up in just a moment, we hope to have Athletics Director Candace Story Lee join us to talk about the announcement this morning of Vandy United. Candace and Chancellor Daniel Dearmeyer made the announcement this morning talking about upgrades for student-athletes and for fans as well, a fundraising effort to invest $300 million into Vanderbilt athletics. So exciting stuff going on campus. Some other news from around campus. Mentioned baseball, 4-0 last week, 19-3, 5-1 in the SEC. Jack Leiter won SEC Pitcher of the Week for the second straight week after his 7 hitless innings against Missouri in the victory back on Friday. They gave Vanderbilt another series win, so congratulations to Jack. As far as soccer goes, ranked number 4 in the country, lost to 17th-ranked Memphis 3-2 yesterday on a game-winning goal in overtime. That was after Vanderbilt had tied the game in the 88th minute on a goal by Abby Brighton, cross from Haley Hopkins, who had headed home the first goal in the 77th minute on a free kick from Layla Azari as Vanderbilt rallied to get it to OT. The Commodores are 9-5. They will finish up the spring portion of the schedule at Duke on April 11th, and then they'll play the NCAA tournament coming up and late April. And I'll give you more about what all's going on with some of the other teams coming up shortly. But first, Vanderbilt Athletics Director Candace Story-Lee is on the line. Candace, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How you doing?
Doing just fine. It was exciting this morning. I think everybody was really anticipating the announcement and what all it was going to involve. And I know for you, it had to be exciting to get up today and know that today was going to be such a big step for this athletics department.
Yes, it was exciting to get up and know that we could publicly talk about what we've been working on for quite some time. So that was great. And just knowing that, it's obviously just the beginning, right? But it's an opportunity for everybody to celebrate with us. And that's why I love the name Vandy United, because it really is about everyone. And I'm just excited that everyone got to be a part of that today, and we'll be able to do the same thing moving forward.
How long did it take to put all this together, from securing the initial funding to the plans and choosing Populous and just all the things that went into it?
You know, if we go back to when we announced the strategic plan, and I'm just going to mention that from last February, just because some of the things that we highlighted as the guideposts upon which we would make decisions, you know, quite frankly, that started a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But I think you can say that from July 1 forward to today, we were working on, we had new leadership, right? So we had new chancellor that started on July 1st. You know, I was appointed at the end of May. And so, you think about late summer as the opportunity to think about, in the middle of COVID now, how we're going to imagine ourselves once we get to the other side of this pandemic and moving forward. And so it was intentionally a very deliberate process, but I think that's important because it was an opportunity in some ways to reimagine things, but in some ways to just say, okay, now let's make sure we have the nitty gritty. And sure. So we're ready to deliver on this for our student athletes and our fans. So, I mean, I would say we've been working on it technically since July, but it picked up here in the last probably 3 months with securing some of more of that funding. And then in the last month or so, I guess we actually officially chose Populous as the master architect.
Now, construction will begin on the football and basketball buildings after football is done this year. When do you hope to have those up and ready?
That's actually a good question. I mean, I don't really know much about construction. I'm going to let the experts do that. But they've assured me that they will move quickly, as quick as possible, without sacrificing quality. And I think that once we finalize the designs, and that's well underway. I mean, we've got some pretty big meetings this week about that. Once we finalize designs and depending on the actual locations of some of these things, I think that'll, of course, determine how long the projects will take.
Yeah, Candace, that's one thing. If you walk around that area of campus where athletics is located, it's pretty clear there's not a ton of available space. So how do you envision trying to fit everything in as far as the new buildings?
Well, I think, one of the things that was really important when we were in our prep phase is that we worked with Perkins and Will, which I have to mention them because they were a part of this process. They're not currently our partner, but they were our partner for an important step, and that was the initial step to help us imagine what was possible. So you're right. If you're familiar with our footprint, it's tight, right? But I think that one of the biggest things that came out of that process is that we don't have to be limited. Don't see it as a negative. See it as an opportunity. It's a great opportunity to be creative and innovative. And, I have to say that when I looked at some of the designs, I was surprised. Thankfully, I'm not the one designing the buildings, right? Because I don't necessarily have a mind for that. But there's a lot of things that can be done. And so some of them are probably the obvious things you're thinking of, but some of them I bet you're not, because there's a lot of room to be creative, actually more than you might think. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Candace Story-Lee is our guest, Vanderbilt Athletic Director, after Vandy United was announced earlier today. Now, during the press conference, you were asked how a new football indoor facility would free up the current one. That will allow for a lot of flexibility with that building just being used for so many different things currently.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, we're so fortunate that we have it, right? So I don't want anybody to take, I mean, because there was a lot of work that went into raising the funds for that and actually bringing that to fruition. So we're really thankful that we have it, but it is a fact that space is overtaxed. So there are a number of sports that currently use that space, and certainly in inclement weather, it is really beneficial. And then it also is attached to the rec center, which means that when varsity athletics are not using that space, and it's also an opportunity for patrons of the rec center to use it. So it is used all the time. It's a great event space. You know, there was a time where we've had Hall of Fame banquets there. We've rented it out to the community. I mean, it gets a lot of wear and tear. And so there's certainly going to be a need for it. And so I like the fact that we'll be able to meet some additional needs by having extra space.
As far as new facilities and amenities for fans, what all are you going to cover there?
So, you know, I was able to talk a little bit about it today, but honestly, some of it will be just dependent on the ultimate designs. But what we know we're going to include are some different seating options, premium seating options. So I think you can imagine like club level suites, just hospitality, open air space. I mean, we're hoping to do a lot of things. We will do a lot of things, but again, it will be determined by what the final designs look like. But we're not going to wait on that. I mean, in the short term, I do want our fans to come back starting in Vanderbilt Stadium and know that there will be some noticeable things. You know, and this is a work in progress. I think we all know that. But particularly having been gone for a year from the football stadium, you know, I think people will come in and notice that our team has put in a lot of time, and we're just going to continue to do it. So what I don't want to get lost in this is that, you know, Vandy United is a big deal, and we're so proud of it. But we are in the habit of improving ourselves all the time. And so these projects are really important. There will be more for us to discuss as we continue moving forward. But in the short term, we're doing a lot of infrastructure things, a lot of things with personnel. We're taking steps every day to invest in our student athletes and our staff. And I just don't want that to be lost, right? This is not just about a project down the line.
Yeah.
In some ways, this is indicative of sort of a larger commitment. We know that. But also, in some ways, this is just another step, right? Because we've been doing a lot of things. I'm just glad we were able to talk about this because I know this is what people have been waiting on.
Candace, for you being a former student athlete and in an administration role for so long at Vanderbilt, how much pride do you take in just being able to work on something like this that's this big that will benefit programs for years to come?
Kevin, did you put emphasis on so long?
No.
I'm teasing you. I am just teasing you. I take great pride, and certainly as the athletic director, I take great pride just for our team, right? Because people have been working very, very hard, very hard. Even people that are no longer here have worked very hard for this to come to fruition. As an alum, I'm very proud. You know, I'm an alum too, and it matters to me that athletics matters to this university. And so that feels great. And as someone who just ultimately feels responsible for other people's kids, because that's how we think about what we do, right?
Sure.
We are ultimately responsible. I feel like, you know, it's an integrity issue if you say one thing and do another. And so we have an opportunity to deliver on what we say. So I'm excited as a professional. I'm excited personally. I'm excited as an alum. I mean, it's a great day for Commodore Nation, and it's just the beginning.
Candace, to finish up here, you know, we've seen the vaccine roll out, and I've had one dose of it. Looking forward to getting the second one coming up in a few weeks. But, you know, as far as athletes go, are you optimistic that in the near future you'll be able to start rolling the student athletes through and getting some of that taken care of?
I do feel optimistic about that. And at the appropriate time, we'll talk publicly about it. But, yes, I do feel optimistic about that. And really, just this is a great opportunity just to encourage all of us, you know, if we want to get back to the things that we love to do, then certainly getting vaccinated is an important step.
Well, Candace, it was an exciting day today. Really appreciate the time this evening, and congratulations. Looking forward to seeing what's ahead with Vandy United.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed talking to you. And you know I was just kidding, right?
Oh, I know. I didn't want you to say so long to me right in the middle of the interview. So
No, I don't think I'd ever do that to you. Hey, it's great talking to you, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, you too. All right, have a good night. Okay. That is Candace Story Lee, Vanderbilt Athletics Director, joining us here on Commodore Hour. We'll come back and wrap it up in just a moment. This is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us. Appreciate our producer, Steve Goldberg, doing a terrific job for us as always. I'm Kevin Ingram. Let's take a look at some of the other teams on the Vanderbilt campus and what's going on. Lacrosse, Vanderbilt's now 9-2, 4-0 in the American Conference. Senior Gabby Forney has set new Vanderbilt and American Conference records with 9 assists in Vanderbilt's 14-12 win at East Carolina yesterday. Also scored 3 times for 12 points. That tied a Commodore record and broke the conference record. Vanderbilt won 19-12 back on Friday, so they are playing really well. We'll be at home Thursday and Saturday against Old Dominion. Women's tennis, 12-5 overall, 4-5 in the SEC, lost 4-3 to 19th-ranked Tennessee and also 4-2 against number 3 Georgia. They will be at South Carolina and Florida this week. Men's golf tied for 4th out of 14 teams at the Old Waverly Collegiate. That's down in Mississippi. Georgia won at minus 20. Vanderbilt was at minus 3. Michael Shears was a top Commodore player at 5-under par. He tied for 4th with scores of 70, 70, and 71. Women's golf will play at the LSU Tiger Golf Classic next week. And bowling, of course, in the NCAA Championships coming up April 7th through the 10th. That will be out in Kansas City. A few players in the NBA keeping an eye on, including Luke Kornet, was traded to Boston just in the last few days. Hit back-to-back threes to push the Celtics ahead in the 4th as they beat Oklahoma City on Saturday, 111-94. Aaron Nesmith also plays for Boston, 2 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists in 16 minutes in that game. Saben Lee started, scored 6 points with 5 boards and 5 assists, and the Pistons lost to Washington in 24 games, averaging 5 points and 2 assists. And Darius Garland continues to have a good season for Cleveland, averaging 16 points, 2 rebounds, and 5 assists, 39% from 3, 18 points, and a loss in Sacramento, a close one over the weekend. That will do it for Commodore Hour. We will talk to you next time. Don't forget Vanderbilt baseball tomorrow against Tennessee Tech. 6:30 start, 6:15 pregame at Hawkins Field. Kevin Ingram saying goodnight from Nashville.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics. Regions, get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit regions.com/anchor down to order yours today. And by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.